And the question is this. Is God real? And does God... Thank you for that. See, who needs me? You got that. And the second half is, does God really want to be involved in my life? And that's a question that all of us have pondered at some point. Does God love me? And does God really want to be involved in my life? And my answer is always, yes, God is real. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God wants to be involved in your life, but you always know what comes next. They say, okay, then, Pastor, I need a sign. I need a sign that shows me that God wants to be real in my life. And it's at that point I would love to be able to say to them what Isaiah the prophet was able to say to King Ahaz in Isaiah 7, and that is, ask God for a sign, any sign. Let it be as deep as hell or as high as heaven, and he will do it for you right now. Now, let me back up and tell you how they got to this point with King Ahaz. At this time in Israel's history, the nation was divided into a northern and southern kingdom. 10 tribes in the northern kingdom, the other 2 tribes in the southern kingdom. But the important part is this. The southern kingdom, under King Ahaz, controlled the holy city of Jerusalem. And of course, the 2 kingdoms were always fighting over that because everyone wanted to control the city of Jerusalem. So much so that the northern tribes had made a pact with Syria, their arch enemies, which was the military superpower of the day, to help them come in and take Jerusalem. Now, with this impending battle, Ahaz knew that the fortifications of their city, their armies, were no match for the combined armies of the northern tribes and the Syrian army. This meant certain doom for the southern kingdom. Here these armies were. They were at the gate. In fact, it says in Isaiah chapter 7 that the heart of King Ahaz and the hearts of the people shook like the trees of the forest shake before a mighty wind. These guys were scared, and for good reason. That was when Isaiah came to King Ahaz and said, I've got a message from the Lord. I've got a message from God. And here it is. God said, be quiet, king. Do not fear. Let not your heart faint because of those 2 smoldering firebrands. I will take care of them before they get to you. Oh, that's a great message from God, isn't it? It's exactly what you want to hear. You've got problems. God says, be quiet. I've got it under control. I'll take care of it before it even gets to you. And Ahaz wanted to believe that so bad, but still he had a question. How can I know that God is real? And how can I know that God wants to be a part of my life? See, it's the same question from the kings on down. That's when Isaiah said, here's how you'll know. Ask God for a sign, any sign, whether in the depth of hell or in the highest heaven, and God will perform it for you, King Ahaz. What do you want God to do? No, I don't know about you, but I could get pretty excited about a question like that. I mean, what would I want God to do? What would you want God to do? To show you as a sign that he's real, wants to be a part of your life. I know what I would ask. God, if you're real, I want to wake up tomorrow morning, go to Honolulu Bay, have it be 6 feet, no one out, with a giant sign that says, supper's welcome. Then I would know God is real. And God wants to be a part of my life. Or I wake up tomorrow morning and all the presents of the Christmas tree have my name on them. And one of those presents is the Red Ryder BB gun I've wanted since I was 5 years old. Then I would know God was real and wanted to be a part of my life. We can come up with some great stuff, couldn't we? And I'm sure you've come up with some great stuff as you've asked God to show you a sign. Well, what would Ahaz ask for? What kind of sign did he want to see from God? Here's the amazing part of this story. Ahaz didn't want any sign at all. At this point, Ahaz is so scared, so discouraged, so full of unbelief that he won't even give God a chance. He won't allow God to prove himself to him or to Israel. Now, you might think that this would have been a blow to God. That would have rattled God, that the king didn't want to see a sign from him, but that was not the case at all. Our failures don't discourage God. They just give God the opportunity to do something even greater. And that's exactly what we see happen here. God says, King Ahaz, if you won't ask for a sign, I will give you and the whole world a sign that will once and for all prove that I'm real and I want to be involved in people's lives. Here is the sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. See, that was the sign that would once and for all tell the world that God is real and that God wants to be a part of our lives. Let's think about this sign from God. First, a virgin will conceive and bear a child. Now, that's quite a sign, isn't it? That's not something you see every day. A virgin, one who had never known a man, would conceive and bring forth a child. How in the world could this happen? Well, as was read earlier, that's exactly what Mary wanted to know, wasn't it? And Gabriel came to her and said, Hail, favored one. You will conceive and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus, and he will be great and be called the Son of the Most High. And Mary said, Wait a minute, sir. I'm not even married. I've never known a man. How's this going to happen? And here's what Gabriel said. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who was born will be called the Son of God. You see, this was going to be a divine conception that would result in a divine birth. And the one that was born would be called the Son of God. That's the second part of the sign, isn't it? The first part is that the virgin would conceive. The second part is that the baby who was born would be called Emmanuel, God with us. You see, that baby who would be born would not just be a good man or even a spiritual man or a religious man. He would be the God man. He would be God become flesh, dwelling among us. That's who Jesus is. He is God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. And his life proved that out, didn't it? You know, there's a time when the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and said, Jesus, are you the Messiah, or should we look for another? And Jesus said this, You go tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Folks, that's the work of God, pure and simple. And that just scratches the surface of what Jesus did upon this earth. No one before or since has done what this man did. His life, his ministry demonstrated that he was God made flesh, dwelling among us. But here's the greatest demonstration of his deity. It happened 3 days after Jesus went to Calvary's cross and died for the sins of the world. And that, of course, was his resurrection from the dead. Jesus did what no other man has been able to do, and that was to conquer death. And so Jesus can now say, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. You see, his life proved his deity. His death proved his deity. And his resurrection, beyond a shadow of his doubt, proves his deity. The virgin conceived and bore a son, and he was Emmanuel, God with us. That was God's great sign to our world that he's real and that he wants to be involved in our lives. Now, that's a pretty good sign, isn't it? And we look back 2,000 years ago on that sign, and here we are still celebrating it tonight. We still marvel at it. We marvel at the love of God, the greatness of God. We marvel at the heart of God for our world, that God so loved this world that he sent his only begotten Son. We marvel at the fact that God really does love us. He really does want to be involved in our lives. And the great proof is this. God would not stay up in heaven, but he clothed himself in flesh, and he came, and he walked among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. And he's walking among us right here tonight. Have you sensed that? The report of Jesus is that he came, he lived, he died, but behold, he's alive forevermore. Jesus is here. He's here tonight. Not as a babe born in a manger, not as a man who walked this earth, but as the Savior of all mankind. He is real. He is powerful. And he wants to be involved in your life. And many of us here tonight are celebrating that fact, the involvement of God in our lives. For, you know, for some of you, this is your first Christmas as a believer. Is it cool or what? It's the best. But other of us have been Christians for a long time, and still we marvel at Christmas Eve because we understand the extent that God went to prove to the world and to prove to us that he is real and he wants to be involved in our lives. So do you know that reality tonight? Do you know it? Do you know it? I know you understand the sign. You know the virgin conceived. You know she brought forth the son. You've heard his name tonight, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. You know that. But is the lordship of Jesus, is it a reality in your life this Christmas Eve? I know that some of you are here tonight and it's not a reality in your life. You've never received the gift of God. You've never opened up your heart personally and let Jesus come in to live in you. Before we close tonight, before we have the candlelight portion of our service, I'm going to give some of you the chance to do that right here tonight. Now, I know that many of you, you've thought about what's going on in our world. You've seen the signs of the time, and you realize that it's time to have that spiritual part of you come alive. And that's what we're talking about here tonight. That spiritual birth, that rebirth in you, that's what Jesus came to do. It happens so simply. It happens as you open up your heart and you confess, God, I am a sinner. I've fallen short. Jesus, I believe you came and you died for me and you rose again. And now I open my heart up to you and I ask you to come in and live in me. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Be my God. Folks, you can do that right here, right now. In fact, I can't think of a better time to do that than 2013, Kapalua, Maui, right here. So let's pray together tonight. Father, thank you for the amazing gift of your Son. And Lord, thank you that it is a sign to us that you are real, that you exist. And more than that, that you want to be a part of our lives. And Jesus, that's what I love so much about you. You're not a distant God. You're here. You're moving in our midst. And I believe you've been moving not just in our midst, but in the hearts and minds and spirits of people here tonight. That they've actually sensed your presence in a way they never have before. They get that sense that you are actually right there knocking on the door of their life and you want to come in. You want them to be born again tonight. You want them to know you even as you know them. And I pray you give them just the courage and the faith to say, Lord, I believe your sign. I believe you are real. And I believe you want to be real in me. In me. So, Father, now as lead each one here in a simple prayer. Lord, would you just give those that need the faith to open their heart up to you right here, right now? And if that's your need this Christmas Eve, then I ask you to pray with me right now. You pray with me. You can pray this out loud. You can pray it in your heart, but you pray with me right now. Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I have sinned. I ask you to forgive me of my sin tonight. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me. And I receive that tonight. And Jesus, I open my heart up to you. I ask you to come in and live in me. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior, my friend, my God. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I might have your power in my life to be that person you designed me to be. Thank you, Jesus, that you live in me and I'm going to heaven in Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed, if you prayed that prayer, listen, we've got a gift for you tonight. If you prayed that prayer, we want to give you a Bible, get you off on the right foot. Be your first Christmas present. If you prayed that prayer, as you raise your hand and say, Pastor Ricky, I prayed that prayer. We're going to pray for you. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anyone here tonight? You prayed that prayer right there? Neat. These two guys right here. Kirk, could you come up here? Grab a couple of Bibles for these two guys right here. Awesome. The angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. Isn't that cool? Anyone else? Did you guys pray that prayer? Awesome. Okay, give these gals a Bible right here. They need one right there. And see that gal right there in the back. Wow, awesome. Coming all the way back there. Anyone else? You prayed that prayer with us tonight. Anyone else? Father, thank you for these. Lord, I believe the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now. And Father, I pray you'd seal their salvation. Thank you that they belong to you, that you hold them in your hand, and that no one can snatch them out. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I thank you for each person here tonight. And Lord Jesus, I pray that this year, 2014, you be so real to each one that we be filled with your joy, your love, your power, that you'd use us in wonderful and amazing ways. And I will thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.